I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to the South Dakota Farmers Union Show, a part of our It's Your Agribusiness series, 12 years old, and today's show, 3,535. Joining us in the studio today, she might be just a day over 35, is Carla Hoffhenke, Executive Director, South Dakota Farmers Union. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill, and it's 29.
29. Okay, well, I apologize. I should never do that to a lady. And Luke, how old are you?
28.
That's what I was going to say, too.
Really? No, you're not 28. There's no
I'm way. Old enough, Bill.
Yes, you are. All right. We need to start with the boss. Shall we do that this morning?
Sounds good.
I had to run this guy down yesterday afternoon, and we did get some breaking news. Doug Somke. President, South Dakota Farmers Union. All right, so what's your message to start the show?
Well, I got a call from National Farmers Union on Monday that said that the Fisher-Grassley bill for 5014 was going to be introduced. And it's not exactly going to be 5014, but it's addressing that issue that several of us would have liked to see him coming from the meeting that was in Phoenix. So that's kind of big news. But honestly, from what my understanding of the direction of the bill, it's not going to make anyone very happy. It's not going to make us very happy, and it's not going to make NCBA or the Packers very happy. So they feel like they've accomplished something, Bill. The only sad thing is it doesn't address country origin labeling yet, and that's still where the rubber meets the road.
So that's not the kind of call you wanted. What direction do you go from here?
Well, I think, you know, at least there's talk, right? I mean, that's there's action, so that's always good. You know, and you kind of got to feed the bear that the machine is running, and that's Congress. So, you know, we will do what we can by working with them. But we still need them to, again, address the fact that we need to make fairer markets. And that's what they're trying to do with the 5014. But again, it's not even going to be 5014. It's something that's similar to it, but not even close. It's very complex. From my understanding is, the 14 is like the states like Texas, New Mexico, and 14% anyway is the lowest, and 50% is the highest, like us in Nebraska and Iowa. They will only allow it to drop three times what the lowest one is. So in other words, it doesn't help bring the 14s up, but it does allow the 50s to go lower. So we could only go down as far as 46%, I think, is if 14 is the lowest. So, you know, so it is somewhat addressing the issue, but it still does not make everybody happy, like you said. And again, I think we need to, you know, keep our eye on the ball and stay focused and stick to the fact that we need country origin labeling. That's just as plain as it can be. And that's the thing that's going to help every one of us. I mean, not just us as producers, but also consumers.
What else should we include in the show, at least from you?
Well, I think, you know, from the state point, we qualified today for the Medicaid expansion, and we're very happy that that happened. So it will be on the ballot, and looking forward to promoting that throughout the next year. And, you know, glad to be part of the South Dakota Decides Healthcare Coalition moving this thing forward. Very proud to say that we're doing the best we can to help make healthcare insurance affordable to as many people as we can in the state of South Dakota.
We appreciate your visit. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Bill.
Doug Somke, of course, South Dakota Farmers Union President. Carla Hoffhenke with us. Luke Rendell is with us. He works the marketing side. Carla, later in the show, you're going to talk about the statewide convention and the fact that getting back eyeball to eyeball is pretty darned important.
It is. We are really losing out not having that one-on-one connection with everyone.
So the dates on that, so people can start marking them down?
December 16th and 17th in Huron at the Crossroads.
All right. We're going to talk more about it later in the hour. Are you okay with that?
I am.
All right, Luke, you helped put this show together. What's your thoughts? Anything that the audience ought to be paying attention to in this hour other than everything?
Well, everything's important. You know, this we addressed a lot of ag issues, and Doug really hit home the point. Country of origin labeling is such an important issue to South Dakota Farmers Union and to South Dakota farmers and ranchers. So, you know, it's really the only product out there that doesn't bear a label, and we just don't think that's fair. So it's always an important issue for us.
All right. We had a chance to visit yesterday, too, with Mark Watney, North Dakota Farmers Union president, on a very important UN climate change conference that he attended. Where was your climate conference?
In Glasgow, Scotland.
Oh, my gosh. Did you learn anything?
Well, I guess I think I did. It was so overwhelming, first of all, because there's 25,000 people there. There's areas within this massive event center and pavilions of countries, and everybody's putting presentations on, from, you know, agriculture to crude oil to methane emissions to glaciers to, things that can be done, things that shouldn't be done. So, you just don't have the time to absorb it all, so you're picking and choosing. But anyway, probably the most important thing that I think is that you can take away from it is that there is a certain sense of urgency, but that urgency includes opportunities for avenues that agriculture can be a solution. And I think there could be opportunities for income streams to farmers. Now, we have to do things right. Further, I learned that, you know, a lot of people, whenever you hear methane, it immediately goes to, well, you're going to have to do something with every cow. Well, that really conversation on methane was, I'd never even heard anybody talking much about the livestock industry other than, you know, if you could enlarge feedlots, you could capture methane maybe coming out of a large feedlot that you could use for into anaerobic digesters and create a product that you could use for heat and so forth. It's somewhat common now across the world. But the methane dialogue is all about crude. It's all about crude and coal. That's the emissions that they talk about the most. And, where that's going to go, how strict that's going to be, that's probably the biggest thing. And of course, that does have an impact on cost to agriculture, based on what that replacement fuel is or how they figure out how to lower the emissions even more from those products.
You know, as we talk about this, did you tell them that you were colder in Fargo, North Dakota than you were in Glasgow, Scotland?
Yeah, I told them that, yeah, typically we are, and that's because they have the ocean. But, you know, if you draw the longitude latitude, we're almost the same point. So if they didn't have the oceans, they wouldn't know that we were colder.
Amazing. But what you just said about the methane really kind of jumped out at me. What do you think if some of those folks from North Dakota had heard that, what do you think their thoughts would have been?
Well, I think they get extremely nervous about, the cost, because a lot of our inputs come through from the petroleum industry and from the coal industry. And they would be, nervous in a sense of what's that going to do to their input costs. So that's a definite issue at hand. But with that said, if you got to look at this, you can believe or not believe that the earth is warming. If you believe, there is certain things that need to take place that could help that from getting too far gone. Now, I look at it from a farm perspective, and I'm a farmer and I represent farmers, is okay, if it's real that we have to deal with it, then how can we best position ourselves? So that's where you start to look at the things we can do on the farm where we're compensated for, not just fees for. And we actually ran a climate program a number of years ago and had about 1,000 farmers sign up, which we got small amount of money to it. The carbon market didn't really exist at the time. The Iowa Farm Bureau did the same thing, and they had a small success with it for a period of time. So there's avenues out here where there's a potential for income from the farm that hopefully can be greater than what some of the costs may be associated with it. But I will tell you, you think that if you can ignore this, that this will just go away and it's not real. I don't think that's true. I think that we're going to be faced with some of these situations. And, you know, having farmers at the table will make it substantially better for us than if we just try to ignore it.
All right. So let's say that you were right on the border of North and South Dakota and you had people that were farmers from the both states coming together. How much of this stuff do you think they'd actually believe and they'd say, Mark, where'd you come from?
Well, I think you'd have a mixed reaction. I think you'd have some that believe and some that are adamantly opposed to that there anything is happening. A lot of folks like to, you know, look at weather and not climate. You know, weather's what happens on an annual basis. Climate's what happens over a 30-year period of time. And that's where the driver of this is when you talk climate. So there's not a lot of information out there that is denying what science is saying about the earth warming. The debate gets, is it a human caused thing or is it a natural thing? All that comes to play. So one thing is for sure, there's nothing wrong with cleaner air and there's nothing wrong with cleaner water and there's nothing wrong with abundant food. So if we approach things in the light that we want air cleaner and we want the water cleaner and we want food more abundant, then how do we make agriculture part of that solution and still keep farmers on the farm and keep ranchers on the ranch and continue to have the choices of food we want? But to think that you just get that without being part of the dialogue, you're going to lose. So you got to have people representing the dialogue. So I'm a farmer up here that is conventional. I till my soil. I did things on my farm that I think enhanced my production and made my soils better. I think every farmer out there does that. We have to tell people that we're doing that. We have to tell people we're preparing that soil to make it better for the future, for the next generation. We have to tell that story. And if you don't tell the story, the assumptions are made that you don't. So we got to work on it.
Mark, we appreciate your storytelling today, and we'll make sure the people in South Dakota understand it.
I thank you for that.
All right. We're going to talk Farmers Union, health care insurance. Carla, how important is that, and what do you think we're going to hear?
It is very important. You know, the three things that make up a family's budget, you know, it's housing, food, and then it's the health insurance. And right now, it's killing a lot of families out there at the cost of that. And Lance's team has a really good way of helping us reduce that cost. So,
well, we're going to find out what he's talking about next. One of the biggest concerns members of the South Dakota Farmers Union have is to health care. The health care, what to do. There are lots of options out there, but we're not all prepared to know what makes sense, what's affordable, and what we should be doing. Lance Boyer, are you out there?
I am. I'm calling in from the beautiful state of Utah. I'm down here for a meeting and looking at some mountains.
Well, just don't get distracted, son. We've got to talk health care insurance. And your good friends, Carla and Luke, are going to help us do some questioning. Why is this going to be available for the members here in South Dakota? What does it mean? And how big a deal is it?
You know, I think when you talk about health insurance, it's a very big deal. As Carla mentioned, it's one of the biggest budget items that any business or family has, and it continues to grow. There's, you know, companies aren't lowering premiums. And since the Affordable Care Act was signed into law, we've seen premiums grow substantially. We've seen out-of-pockets that impact families and what they have to pay for health care continue to rise. But fortunately, there's also a lot of levers and options inside of that where we can show folks how to work with what are called tax credits and cost share reductions and drive those costs down substantially, all while maintaining the same quality health plans that they have. We're not talking about taking them from a quality health plan in your state, whether it's a state-based carrier or national carrier, and putting them on something that's foreign. We're going to work with the same carrier, South Dakota Farmers Union Insurance. We work with every carrier that's available in the state of South Dakota. We just, through the mechanisms of the tax credits and the cost share reductions, you can own those same quality plans, and you can reduce your premiums substantially.
And you have some stories of some of the families that you have helped with that too, haven't you, Lance?
Yes. The farm and ranch market in particular, I know prices are down, times are tough. We haven't got the weather we've needed. We've sat down with folks that were paying around $30,000 a year for a health insurance plan. And because their incomes are down, costs are up, the weather's not there, we've been able to show them using the tax credits and the cost share reductions that we've ran those premiums down to, in some cases, zero.
Lance.
So imagine putting $30,000 a year back into your family budget and taking those dollars and going to the main street in your community and spending those dollars and helping out your main street.
Lance, I don't think you could say it any better, really, just because, you know, for young producers or any producer for that matter, but especially young producers that don't really have a whole lot of equity or cash flow seems to be really tight all around. You know, how crucial that really is, I think, is an understatement to, you know, that much money can go back into the economy, the local economy. What can young producers or any producers out there that are having issues with, you know, health insurance, what's their first step? What do they need to do?
They need to call their farmers union agent. And we have a team of specialists that work with all the agents across the state. You give us 5 minutes, we're going to ask a little bit of data from you, and we're going to show you how we can drive those costs down. So literally one phone call and 5 minutes of your time, and you're almost done with the process, believe it or not, in that first step. And now is the time of the year, because health insurance enrollment opened up November 1st, and it's going to run until January 15th. So we do have a limited window that we can do this. So the time is now to pick up that phone and make that call.
Lance Boyer is with us this morning. Where'd you say in North Dakota? You're from North Dakota, right?
Yes, I'm
you got lost Dakota. In North Dakota and went to Utah.
Yeah, we work with several different farmers union groups throughout the country, and so I'm down here talking to the Utah agents about health insurance, and happened to coincide with this call. So it's a problem for producers, not only in the Dakotas, but across the country. And the thing is it's complex. I can tell you, growing up, my dad was a contractor, and to this day, I can't read a tape measure. Killed him. But you need to go where people have expertise and you can get help. And health insurance is complex. You need an agent to take you through the process.
All right. I understand that. But I've got Avera and Sanford in my show tomorrow. And they're going to be telling us we ought to use them. Why should we be using South Dakota Farmers Union if you're a Farmers Union member?
Because you can buy your Avera plan or your Sanford plan from your Farmers Union agent at the same price you can buy it from them. We're great partners with them. We promote their products, and those are the products we're talking about. We don't take you to a Farmers Union plan or an Obamacare plan. We work with Sanford, we work with Avera, and we market their products. But you can get your trusted Farmers Union agent as your point of contact to access those policies at no extra cost. We offer the same products and programs that they do.
You know, I am hearing that sincerity out of you this morning, and also with Carla and Luke, that I hear from Avera and Sanford, wanting to make sure people have insurance, make sure they're covered. A lot of people can't go to sleep at night for fear of their insurance situation. This is another answer to their prayers, Lance.
You know, I can tell you the impact is so wide-ranging. I have friends that are board members on these local rural hospitals. And if people aren't insured, they become a collection agency, and they have to they either have to swallow the bills or they have to go after their folks that they see every day in their communities. if they can come in with insurance, they don't, that problem goes away. You create a healthier rural hospital if you have more insureds walking through the door that have insurance.
Carla, do you have a last question?
Well, you can go to FUIagency.com to find your local agent.
That would make a difference. And I would suggest that, how many members do you have in South Dakota?
19,000.
How many do you have in North Dakota? Do you know?
About 45,000.
45,000? There aren't 45,000 people in North Dakota, are there?
Depends on the day.
On the day. Well, it's important that those 60-some thousand people need to talk with their medical facilities in their two states. And remember, South Dakota Farmers Union, North Dakota Farmers Union, all very important contacts. And chances are some of the same questions that you have, they are running across as well. Lance, we appreciate you this morning. Thanks for filling us in. And I'm glad I could figure out you were in a four-letter state, Utah.
Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
When we get back, we're going to talk with Mitch at the special session. Zach is bringing us the Farm Family of the Month. We'll go to the National Farmers Union, and Carla's going to talk a little bit about the convention next month. I'm Bill Zortman. Joining me in our Sioux Falls studios, Carla Hoffhenke, South Dakota Farmers Union Executive Director, Luke Rendell, Mr. Marketing for SDFU. This morning, we want to introduce you to the South Dakota Farmers Union farm family, Zach Townsend. Andover, that's near Aberdeen. Zach, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You know, it's been an interesting year. If there are not challenges with a farmer, you know, it wouldn't be the kind of year we'd expect. And you faced it with the loss of your father due to a heart attack, and you've had to struggle in some other areas. Can you kind of share with us, and maybe we'll have a lot more farm families say, that Townsend family is amazing.
Yeah, it's been a struggle this year. I lost my dad last October, and just completely out of the blue. And so we've been transitioning the farm and stuff like that. And so then like everybody else, we faced some drought this year, and then we had some significant hail kind of overcome that this year. And we're just trying to busy wrap up harvest right at the moment.
So other than just having to have all hands on deck, struggling and doing everything else, did it bring your family closer together?
Yeah, it brought my mom really, really close to the farming operation. She was always involved before, but now she's really hands on deck with us. And my wife runs a grain cart. Well, my wife does everything: runs a grain cart, combines, semis, and then. So we're really a family harvest crew this fall, and we always kind of have been, but it's just a little bit closer together this year.
Zach, if you will, tell us a little bit about the background of your family, your dad, and all that you guys have done in the last, well, probably 40, 50 years, I would guess, at least.
Well, we started out, my grandpa bought 10 acres on an old building site, and we've evolved from that, and we actually just got done harvesting that 10 acres here a few days ago, and it was pretty humbling to kind of know that's where we started from, was just from 10 acres. And from there, we've just grown. We had cattle and hogs back then, and we kind of transitioned just to more cow-calf pairs. And then a few years ago, my dad decided to kind of slow down a little bit, so we got rid of most of our cows and rented out our pastures. And we just kind of been growing and busy combining. We do a lot of combining, and yeah, that's just kind of what our story is.
I love the fact that as we were talking this morning, you were talking about your wife. She does everything.
Yeah, she knits and crochets in the grain cart as we're going. She makes baby blankets all harvest while we're combining. And yeah, she does all the calving. She does most of the cattle stuff. She does majority of the haying. Yeah, I'd be lost without her.
Your kids, they're going to farm?
I sure hope so. Henry's 1.5 and never spent a day in daycare. His daycare is either in a quad track or in a combine cab or sleeping on the floor in the baling tractor. That's That's his daycare. He's learning everything a farm kid could learn right at the moment.
Did you ever think about doing anything but farming?
You know, I never did. I kind of always wanted to farm. I always wanted to raise cattle, and just I kind of knew from a long, long time ago that this is what I wanted to do, and I hope we can continue to.
We know there are a lot of families out there, and when they hear the Townsend story of all that you guys have gone through, how you've all pulled together, they're going to be, well, it's going to give them a thought about, you know, we can do it as well. What would you do, and what would you tell people that would ask you about this situation?
Just have faith. Tomorrow is a new day, and like my dad always says, just put a smile on your face.
We're talking with Zach Townsend, South Dakota Farmers Union Farm Family of the Month. Farmers Union, bringing people together. That's like you bringing your family together.
Yes, it is.
Why does it help to have brothers that are a part of an organization like Farmers Union or some of the others that you deal with? How does that help you, even in the tough times you've had in the last year?
Well, it's always nice just to pull out your phone and call somebody and just have a talk to them and see what they're doing and see if you can do something different or if they can help you out. I mean, we've got a lot of good neighbors that are part of Farmers Union that kind of lean on to give me a little bit of advice. And heck, I even give them some advice every now and then.
My guess is you do the same with your 1.5.
Yeah. He teaches us, and we're kind of trying to teach him, I guess.
Zach Townsend, the South Dakota Farmers Union Farm Family of the Month, thanks for all you do. We'll say a prayer for you, and we'll just try to follow your lead in the days ahead.
Well, I thank you very much, and I hope everybody has a safe harvest.
Zach Townsend, South Dakota Farmers Family of the Month. And Pierre, they're a little busy up there. Mitch Richter is the lobbyist up there. I see that they tried to work yesterday, trying to work today. What should we know in about 2 minutes this morning?
To be continued. It's going to be heard this afternoon. The committee met this morning, and they talked about it, and they came up with some amendments that they're going to consider, but they have to deal with the Attorney General's special session, which they're doing right now, and then the governor's Frank Farrar's memorial service will happen at 1, and then after that, they'll get back to redistricting, and I would expect that before they go home tonight sometime, they'll have that done, but it's a contentious process, and they're working through it.
The petitions in the Secretary of State, the questions about rural versus urban, is that a big issue?
Yes, that's one of the sticking points on redistricting right now is Aberdeen has been divided up into 3 different legislative districts. The Aberdeen legislators and citizens in Aberdeen would like to see it at 2. But the map has a big ripple effect. When you start taking, 1,800, 2,000 voters out of one district and putting them into another, that just filters down to the other 33, 32 districts, and so it's a tough thing to do. Every district needs to have about 25,000 voters, and so you have to divide the state up into that type of a voting block. And in rural parts of South Dakota, it's tough to come up with 25,000 people without spreading it over a couple hundred miles. So it's a real challenge this year.
I had a chance to visit with Kent Peterson, the House Majority Leader, and one of the things we talked about is the importance of this impeachment vote and the fact that they are writing history in South Dakota. That is a pretty heavy burden on your shoulders.
It is, because you don't want to make a mistake and set a precedent that others will have to follow that maybe is a mistake. And so I think they're going to take a very hard look at it. They're going to be deliberative in what they do. I'm confident that the committee they're going to appoint is, there's some attorneys on there. There's some smart people. I think they'll do the right thing at the end of the day, and we'll have a good precedent to follow.
Mitch Richter, appreciate all you do. Keep earning your keep, because how you write history, we're going to remember, too.
That's correct.
All right. Thank you. In Washington, D.C., National Farmers Union is at work. Mike Estrance is with us. Mike, I understand you're going to talk to us a little bit about the Biden proposal, what it's going to affect in agriculture and in the fields. What should we know this morning?
Hey, good morning, Bill. Yeah, so over the weekend, the House passed the bipartisan infrastructure deal, which will put a whole bunch of money into rural infrastructure, particularly roads, bridges, locks and dams, rails, and make some important investments in getting broadband out there. So that passed the House over the weekend. The president signs it into law. And there's still a couple other proposals out there, but this infrastructure deal is, in fact, a big deal, and we're really happy to see it pass.
Mike, good morning. This is Luke. With the infrastructure bill, obviously there's been some changes. They've sized it down. Is that going to have any impact on rural America, rural South Dakota?
So with the infrastructure bill, and there's we're still talking about $40, $50 billion nationwide on rural broadband deployment, and we're really excited to see that. I think that on the other side of things, this other piece that's still hanging out there is on climate and on what sorts of changes can be made there that will make an impact for farmers to take some new conservation practices and things like that and make money off of it. We're seeing that still in the reconciliation bill. So that hasn't passed the House yet, but has a good shot now. And we're excited to see that.
Mike, it's a busy time. We heard from Doug Somke a little earlier in the show, talking a little bit about some of the proposals. We talked health care. We also talked about the beef questions that are affecting an awful lot of people. A lot of questions being thrown at D.C. Are you keeping them straight for us?
Trying. But, yeah, there's, you know, you talked about the beef markets a bit there, and we're hopeful that there can be some agreement soon as to how to best tackle this problem in the marketplace where there's not enough open trading, there's not enough information for ranchers to make real decisions when it gets time to market. And I think there's some progress yet to be made to make sure that the packers are held accountable and are not manipulating the market. So between legislation and regulations that USDA is going to start working on more, I think we can see some progress. But as far as keeping them all straight, I don't know. We're trying.
Well, you just do the best you can. You got to represent your people and make sure that what you do is the best you can get.
That's what we try to do. And, you know, what helps the most is getting the voices of farmers and ranchers up to Washington. It's one thing where us as staff here are pointing people in the right direction and giving information. But when they can hear stories and how it impacts individuals, families, and communities in South Dakota and elsewhere, that's where it really makes a difference. So we try to connect you with the people in D.C.
National Farmers Union, Mike Strance, appreciate the update. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Luke.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about the Herd Builders Award. We're also going to talk about the convention and hear from the state climatologists. Welcome back to the South Dakota Farmers Union Show. Carla Hoffinke is with us, Executive Director, and you've been just really proud of the fact that you're going to have a live event coming up.
We are very excited for it, yes.
Why are you so happy about live versus something else?
It's just easier to connect with the members. The members need to be connecting with each other, too.
So this year, give them the what, where, when, why, and how as to when it's going to happen and what they should know.
Our state convention is going to be held in Huron at the Crossroads. It's going to be on December 16th and 17th. And one of the most important things we're going to be doing there is setting our policy for the year. So our members are going to be telling us what we're going to be doing.
So what is your anticipation? Because people talk in advance because they want their ideas heard.
Definitely the 50-14, the cool, all of that is going to be on the table. So we're just anxious to see what they're going to be bringing. We also got a lot of speakers that we're going to be having. Hemp is a big deal.
Imagine that being in the news.
This was the first year they could grow it in South Dakota. Some had very good luck. Some didn't. They're wanting to know more about it. So we're going to have a panel of experts. We are going to have Derek Dolman. He's with Horizon Hemp Seeds. We have Ken Meyer, who's going to be, he's the president of South Dakota Hemp Association. Orrin Lesmeister is going to be the moderator. He was a legislator and was very instrumental in getting this passed. And then we're also going to have a producer that grew 1,100 acres this year. So he was
where in the state?
Around Huron.
Does that surprise you? Because there were some tough spots out there. And again, weather picks its own conscience as to where it's at.
Well, because he had so many acres, he had a little bit of everything. He had the stuff that was really drought-stricken, and then he had some really good stands of hemp, too. So it was I just seen the story on it that Lura wrote yesterday, and he bears it all. He tells exactly what type of a show it was this summer with the drought.
Luke, when you start looking at the convention, what's important?
That we can come together. That's the biggest thing. And I think Mike kind of hit it home earlier, where having producer involvement where we can congregate and talk about issues is so important. Just being that it's a grassroots organization. This is where policy comes from. It comes from, you know, neighbors talking at home, to a district meeting, to a state meeting. You know, this is how federal legislation gets passed. So it's crucial.
Having been there a few times to your convention, I think I went to the 100th. So, you know, I have that in my Funkin' Wagnall this morning. But the young people that they were there and the things that they got out of it, they got to see things and they got to be addressed as almost adults. That's a pretty important thing, too.
Yes, it is. It's a family organization, so it's all part of it.
Now, you have somebody that's like 17 years of age that won an award, but it was in October.
Swayze Ness, yes. She is a 17-year-old from Kimball, South Dakota. She filled out an application for one of our herd builder heifers, and we had a really tough time picking a winner, ended up with a tie, so we gave out two of them this year. And in anticipation of that, that's going to be tough again next year. We're going to do three next year.
So, Swayze, if you were walking off to college and they were thinking of a scholarship for you and you said that you were a herd builder, do you think you could argue your way into a scholarship?
Oh, yeah. I definitely could.
So what does it take to be the winner of that? Can you kind of share with us a minute and a half as to what you did and why you were one of the two winners?
Well, what I did was I just was myself, I guess, when I filled out the application. Like, the application asked for what experience you've had with livestock, and I don't remember a time where we didn't have cattle and horses around. They've been there constantly. That's what we work with every weekend. So, I mean, I've been around them, so I know the ins and outs and how to work with them. And I've also shown cattle for the past 9 years, I think. So, and it's just such a great opportunity to grow my own herd, as I'm currently a junior in high school. So I'm starting to think about college and stuff, and an extra heifer to help produce more calves to sell to make more money is really beneficial to help pay for college and other expenses. But I've just said exactly what I've done. I guess I run the feed wagon and tractor at home and stuff, and I don't know. I was just myself.
And it did show when you filled out that application. So was it worth it?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely worth it.
What are your future plans, Swayze?
I really haven't decided. I know I want to do something agricultural, but I haven't decided exactly what yet.
You have time.
yeah,
I do.
Swayze, it's just, we're glad that we're able to, you know, have this award that we can give out to youth such as yourself, you know, showing such good experience in cattle. You know, and good family ties to agriculture. It's just important for our youth and to honor and recognize our youth and kind of continue the tradition of family farms and ranches.
Swayze, got to ask you a question. If you had some young people come up to you and say, why should we want this award, what would you tell them?
Oh my gosh, there's so many reasons to want an award like this. Like, this is honestly one of the best things I've ever received. There's endless opportunities with this heifer. Like, I'm planning on showing her this year, and then she's going to go into my cow herd, and I can, like, pick and choose the genetics from her that I want to, like, enhance on and pass down to her calves. And it's just such a great opportunity, and I can't wait for I'm just so excited.
All right, Swayze, here's the deal. I want you to follow up with what happens with your herd. Would you mind doing that in the next year with us? We'll find some room for you in the show, and we'll talk about what you're doing. And I hope you have as much spirit and energy as you've had today. You make us feel really good about the next generation.
Yeah, you bet. I can do that next year.
I'll bet there's nothing that you can't do, Swayze. Swayze Ness from Kimball. Congratulations on winning.
Thank you.
Our last stop is with South Dakota State climatologist Laura Edwards. Laura, we're headed towards the middle of the week that has already saw some raw weather in the West River. What's it going to be like the rest of the state and the rest of the week?
Yeah, we're seeing a big change come about starting with tomorrow. And I know a lot of folks have been tracking the weather. We're going to see a big drop in temperature with highs around 35 on Friday. And on and off chances of rain and or snow over the next few days over the weekend. So, you know, we're in for maybe a few flakes, so a touch of winter here in this week of November.
I'll tell you what, Laura, you have a good history with me as far as telling me where the coldest place was, where the warmest place was. Now, where's the snow going to be? We're going to see if you can keep that reputation today.
We're going to see most of the snow in the northeastern corner of the state. So Sioux Falls won't see too much of anything. It'll melt pretty quick, I'm sure, and go away. So, yeah, I think the northeast corner is where we're going to see most of any accumulating snow.
All right. We are now approaching the middle of the month, and we're not far from Thanksgiving. What kind of winter season are you anticipating for the great state of South Dakota?
You know, looking at the climate models and forecasts now, I see a lot of ups and downs, especially on precipitation. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me recently, what's the snow going to be this winter? And it's kind of uncertain. I see some dry periods and wet periods both in the winter ahead. Temperature-wise, it's maybe a little easier, a little more confident in colder than average later in the winter. I think we're in for a little bit of a roller coaster ride this winter. We'll see.
All right. We'll ride along with you. Laura Edwards, state climatologist. Appreciate all you do for all of us.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We got about a minute and a half left. So what did we learn today? What would you say, Carla?
What I like to hear from is the farm families every month. You know, they're the
Townsends.
The Townsends. They're the backbone of rural South Dakota for us, of our membership, and helping them with any of the issues that they have. That's part of the reason Luke and I both enjoy our jobs so much is that what we get to do for them, getting their voices out there, addressing any of the issues that they have. So,
Luke?
Well, I think insurance is a big thing. You know, like Lance was talking earlier, the open enrollment period is open. And health insurance is such a major expense for so many farm families out there. Go ahead and help yourself. Take a few minutes. Contact your Farmers Union insurance agent and see if you can save some money. You know, it's real important to have coverage and to have it affordable.
It's nice to have the ties that we all do to North Dakota. The fact that they don't treat us like the South Dakota State that just kicked their butts up in Brookings in the last week. But they do care. And Dakotas do work together. Wouldn't you agree, Carla?
Yes, they do. They work very well together. We have a lot of common interest.
All right. Anything else, Luke?
Convention, December 16th through 17th, www.sdfu.org. Check it out and get registered.
Well, I'm Bill Zortman. Thanks for being believers in agriculture, family farmers, and ranchers in South Dakota. This has been our monthly South Dakota Farmers Union show for the thousands of South Dakota Farmers Union members and their families. Our time is up. Thank you for yours.
Kello News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at kello.com.